This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Good afternoon. This is Don Nolan. I'm sitting in again for Steve, who's out of town. This is an afternoon, evening program on issues in religion, ethics, and spirituality. And this evening's guest is Ms. Amy Sponsler, who is the director of the Office of Volunteer Programs at the University of Illinois. Thank you very much for joining us, Amy.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Amy has recently been appointed to this job. How long have you been on the job?
About 1 month.
Yeah? So yeah. You're fresh.
I am.
You have been involved, as I understand it, in volunteer work in the past at the University of Illinois and no doubt in other capacities as well. You've also been active in the University Y. I believe you said you'd been on the Board of Governors.
Yeah.
And various other service projects. And I would also like to talk to you about one of your past commitments a little bit later in the program, Teach for America.
Great.
You want to talk a little bit about how you got involved in doing this kind of work?
Sure. My freshman year, I signed up for an alternative spring break trip, and I traveled to Minneapolis to work with LGBT issues. And it was an amazing trip, and from then on out, I was hooked and caught the service bug and joined the ASB board and served on that for 4 years and went on four other trips. And
you want to do what the ASB board
is? I'm sorry, the Alternative Spring Break Board.
Okay.
And I served as president my junior year and served in all different capacities in the university. I was a tutor in the Champaign-Urbana schools. Volunteer coach, Spanish tutor, mentor, you named it. I couldn't get enough. So that eventually led me to join Teach for America, which is what I just finished up with.
Well, before we get too much further along, let me indicate that this is a call-in program. And if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment to Amy this afternoon, local calls are 333-9455. There's also an 800 number, 1-800-222-9455. Again, the local call is 333-9455. You say you just got through with Teach for America.
What, I did.
For those who don't know that program, what is that program?
Teach for America is a program that places recent college graduates into low-income and under-resourced areas that can't always get all the teachers that they need. So I was a middle school Spanish teacher in rural North Carolina, and I worked alongside eight other Teach for America teachers for 2 years. And my school district has had Teach for America in place for 13 years. So the need where I taught was great, and it will probably always be great. And Teach for America is expanding up to, I think they're at almost 4,000 current teachers, which is just amazing when you think about it. And they're in 23 regions across the country, and all these teachers are working so hard to do the best that they can for these students without having a lot of teacher training. And being a teacher is extremely hard. Harder than I ever realized, but it was the greatest challenge of my life, and I was just glad to have the opportunity to do it for 2 years.
What did you do?
I taught middle school Spanish. Mm-hmm. I was a softball coach, volleyball coach, and I was a sponsor for the National Junior Honor Society,
mm-hmm.
which tried to incorporate community service into some of our activities for the honor students at the school.
Now, you don't need teacher certification for that? Or?
You don't initially. I was working towards my certification, and it varies region to region. Mm-hmm. If I would have stayed a third year in North Carolina, I would have had to have my certification.
Some do?
Some do. Some don't. Again, it depends on how strict the state is. North Carolina, not very strict, because mm-hmm. their need is extremely high. So mm-hmm. I was about halfway there.
Now, tell us a little bit more about the Office of Volunteer Programs. What's the history of it, and what kind of activities do they do with it?
The Office of Volunteer Programs is located in the Union, and it's a really unique model. It's been around since about the early 1990s, and it is a collaboration between the United Way of Champaign County and the university, both monetarily and with support in terms of resources and personnel, to get our students from the university into the community and get into the over 200 agencies that we have that need help that the university can provide with students and resources and myself. So it's been a pretty good partnership over the years. Some ups and downs, but we get the job done. Mm-hmm. And so I'm out in the community. I've been on the job for 1 month, so this summer is going to be visiting a lot of agencies and learning my way around. But students are always welcome to stop in the office. We're open 9 to 5. And when a student comes in, they want to volunteer, if they want to start a service organization, if they need help with their service organization that they're already running, we can do all that for them. If they have a group of 25 people who want to do a project, we'll find one for them. We've got a small staff, but we're dedicated, and we love what we do. And mm-hmm. we have great partnerships with the community. The Champaign-Urbana community is excellent and very receptive to students who want to get out there. So we love helping students and wish that more students would come our way. Don't think a lot of students realize, A, that we even exist, and B, mm-hmm. where we are. And we're in the heart of the campus in the Union. So we love it to have any student stop by.
I'll ask you later, but why don't you go ahead and give the phone number?
Okay.
For students.
It is 333-7424.
Alrighty.
And the website, which is pretty amazing, is called www.cuvolunteer.org. Now, this website's about 5 years old, and what you do when you log on to cuvolunteer.org, you can search for a volunteer opportunity by date, by agency, by issue that you want to work with, or even by day of the week. And opportunities will pop up for you, and you have your information right there. So for those people who can't make it from 9 to 5, it's always online, and it's available for any community members. So we monitor that website, and the agencies monitor that website to update their opportunities, but usually they're around 300, 315 opportunities at any given time that are up on the web for students to look at. So
open, that are waiting for.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Open and waiting for volunteers to come mm-hmm. grab them. So it's going to hopefully go get some revamping this summer, but it's a great website.
So it isn't just university students. It's community members as well.
Yep. Whoever wants to use it and use our resources, we are more than willing to help anyone.
Mm-hmm. What kind of opportunities are typical among the 315?
That's a good question. Everything is out there. A lot of the things, a lot of the park districts need help, and both the Urbana Park District and the Champaign Park District always have excellent opportunities for students, especially for students looking for one-time opportunities. They have lots of environmental work that always needs to be done with raking and park maintenance and restoration. They also are always in some kind of sports season where they need coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Which is always fun for college students and actually isn't as much time as I think a lot of students realize. And there are a lot of students who are out there coaching T-ball and Little League and soccer. The food banks are also other agencies that need a lot of help because they're constantly getting in new shipments of food and lots of food at one time, and they need to get it in place so that they can get it out. So we send a lot of students to Eastern Illinois Food Bank, Salt and Light, all those things that are out there. I'd say those are the two big ones, the park mm-hmm. districts and the food banks.
Primarily typical for the summer, and in the fall, does it change?
Yeah, it does change on season and what's going on. Big mm-hmm. events like the Sweet Corn Festival always mm-hmm. need volunteers, so that's always up on the website. Pretty much anything that's going on in the community. I know Artists Against AIDS, they had a lot of student volunteers mm-hmm. who were there through Volunteer Illini projects. anything that's going on in the community, it'll be up on that website. A lot of the agencies are great about putting their things up there, or their events up there, because they are getting the response from the students in the community. They are getting the volunteers that they need by having their event listed on the website.
United Way, Habitat for Humanity also?
Yep, all of them.
Mm-hmm. So it covers the whole shebang.
It does. No student organizations put their information on CU Volunteer. It's Champaign-Urbana local agency. So, yeah, the Habitat, the local Habitat will put anything up there that they need help with.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine that you would prefer a volunteer to go to the website because they self-select and sort, although you probably would do that on the phone too, right?
Yep, we can do it by phone, by email, by website, in person. We do like them students to come into the office so that we can talk to them, especially if they're really not sure about what they want to do. Because we'll sit down with them and ask them what their interests are, what kind of commitment they want to make. That's a big thing. The website can't really tell you how often that commitment lasts or what the agency needs. And that's a lot of time information that I know.
You do filtering, sorting students or volunteers to particular jobs, or maybe even steering them away from some and to others?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. If a student only wants to volunteer 4 hours a week, that means that there are certain agencies that they are going to work better with and some agencies where it probably just won't work out. So we try to get a good fit so that they'll go back, which is the most important thing, which I was talking to you about earlier. We want the students to make this a commitment. Mm-hmm. It's great that they do it one time. That's awesome. We want to see them do it over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And while they're in school, if they can start that first year of college and keep going, the impact on their education at Illinois will be that much greater.
Let's talk a little bit about that. But first, let me just reiterate the local number, if you'd like to call in for a question to Amy about the work of the Office of Volunteer Programs at the university. The local number is 333-9455, or you can call 1-800-222-9455. Talk a little bit about how you see volunteerism. I'm sure you have ways of presenting its benefits and virtues and needs to students when they come in. Do you go out and make a pitch in other ways as well? And what is that pitch?
We go out and make a pitch to any group that wants us to come. I don't have the time or the staff to actively seek out every student and residence hall on campus. I'd love to, but I'm the only full-time staff member in the office. The pitch is it's great to give back, and you will gain so much out of it just by going. And that's very simplified, very simplistic, but it has so much relevance in your life, relevance to your major, and the community needs it. And university students, I don't think, realize that they are part of the Champaign-Urbana community, and it's important for them to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. The university, they can't just seclude themselves on this university. So we just try to get them out there once, and that's why that perfect fit is important, because if it's a good match once, we assume that they're going to go back and probably get even more involved. So we've got,
How many do return?
That I don't know. One thing that we are lacking on is tracking of volunteers. Mm. It's hard to do. It's time consuming both on our part and the agency's part to keep track of how many hours each U of I student does. And that shouldn't be our excuse. It's something I'd like to work on in the fall, because those numbers are important if we want to see the Office of Volunteer Programs grow, which I do. I'd like to have more than one full-time staff person and five student workers. Mm-hmm. That's something that I think is important.
What was the rationale for creating the office in the first place, or do you remember or know?
Oh, goodness. I should have looked at this. I knew it when I was a student. Just to have a collaboration between the United Way and the university, because they're both such great parts of the community, and seeing what they could do together, I think, was the initial collaboration. I think that Chancellor Aiken had a lot to do with that as well. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm. I know that the United Way focuses, as I understand it, they have needs-based criteria mm-hmm. now that are a little bit more strenuous and selective. Do you get involved in that at all?
I am not that familiar with the United mm-hmm. Way. I have mm-hmm. not met with them since I've started. I've been...
Well, the, I guess the question is, do you have criteria like that? That you use at all?
Not like the United Way, no.
I see.
We don't.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. We're everywhere.
What are the biggest needs?
The biggest needs in the community?
On your list of 315 at any given day, which ones, if you could wave a wand, are the most needy for volunteers?
Probably the school districts and the nursing homes and... maybe the Salvation Army and the food
mm-hmm.
banks.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it really is an ebb and flow depending on the time of year and what the needs are. But I feel
those
like
school districts are waning in the summer, right?
But during the school year, I think the school districts need all the help that they can get.
What do they typically do in the schools, the volunteers?
They can do everything from tutoring one-on-one during the day to mentoring after school to helping out with after-school programs.
Mm-hmm.
It really depends on what the school district wants. It also depends on they're getting a little stricter on who they let into the schools.
That's what I've heard.
It needs a student who's committed because they'll have to go through a process. They can't just show up mm-hmm. at Jefferson Middle School and say, I'm here to volunteer. Mm-hmm. It's not that simple anymore, which is good. I don't think just anyone needs to be in our schools.
Mm-hmm.
But the school districts, especially with all the standard-based testing that's going on, need all the help they can get with tutors.
Do you require background checks at all?
Yes, for healthcare issues, for uh-huh. students working at the hospitals and uh-huh. the rehabilitation centers and the school districts.
Uh-huh.
And I forgot to mention the healthcare, Carle Hospital, the hospice, Provena. We send so many students to those areas.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of pre-med students getting a little taste of their future and also giving back. Because that's their chosen field, and that's a perfect way for a pre-med major or someone interested in health sciences to decide, is this right for me? Is
mm-hmm.
this, you know, is this what I want my life to be like? What kind of impact am I going to have? What can I do for, you know, this hospital, this center? So,
what would they typically do in hospital settings?
Gosh. I'm not sure of
the hospital. Different hospitals would have different chores, no doubt.
Yeah,
reading to patients, visiting patients.
I'm not sure how much interaction they get with mm-hmm. patients, but I know that they're always in the hospitals
mm-hmm.
doing lots of things. We do a lot of service on campus, like making things for per se the children at Carle Hospital and then giving it to them. Like
mm-hmm.
right now we have a stuffed animal toy drive going on. So mm-hmm. we collect toys and such for students. So it's not direct service, but it's still amazing to take those 200 stuffed animals to mm-hmm. the children's wing at Carle Hospital and see the look on those kids' face. So we do a lot of drives as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What would you say to an engineering or a business or whatever student who is thoroughly committed to getting their best grades and they say to you, I have little or no time and besides this is not my community, so why is it so important for me?
Well, it is their community, whether they realize it or not. And going to college is not all about going to every class and getting straight A's, in my opinion. It's about becoming an adult and becoming who you are and growing into your own. And there's so much education that goes on in a college that doesn't occur in the classroom. And that happens in your social interactions, and it happens outside in the community. So if you're, it just helps you become who you are. So for those engineers, they need to get out there and see what their real world is like and see what their engineering skills, how they can impact nonprofit agencies. We would desperately love for anyone with computer experience and expertise to go to some of these agencies and revamp their website or create a volunteer tracking system. We have all kinds of opportunities like that. And
this has been done?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it takes a commitment, but these agencies are often understaffed and overworked. And if they have a student who can commit to helping them with their website maintenance, that's excellent. That's more time they have to spend with their clientele or doing whatever the mission of their agency is. Mm-hmm. And it's also amazing experience for a student. So we really do try to fit that with the student and the agency. That's important. You have to have a good fit, or else it's not, if it's bad once for the student, they're going to be very hesitant to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So we want that experience to be powerful the first time.
My understanding is there's a fairly significant need in the schools for students to become, I guess the term is computer literate. Do you have a lot of U of I students helping in that area?
Well, I can't speak for that since came in at the tail end of the school year. But working and volunteering in the school districts is always one of the most popular jobs or volunteer experiences that we have. And there are probably 10 to 20 service organizations on campus that are dedicated to education and tutoring and mentoring. But a lot of after-school programs in today's schools now are related to computers and technology, and students at this university are very adept with that. And so we'd like to get as many students out into those schools to help both the school-age child and maybe the faculty of that school to help them with their computer issues and learning all the new stuff that happens on a seemingly daily basis.
So the engineering student who, as I described earlier, is preoccupied with his own career at the university. Your earlier point was that it helps you grow and become an adult. What does it unpack that a little bit more? What does that mean?
Well, when they're going to try to get a job, hopefully their employer is going to want to see that they've been successful outside of the classroom as well as inside.
Looks good on the resume.
Well, yeah, but you can't just be it's so important to get out and do. I mean, I can't emphasize that enough. So much of my education as a college student wasn't in the classroom. It was from my volunteer experiences, which is why I kept doing them. And that's what we want for these students.
Mm-hmm. When you volunteer and it's in a community you don't know, what is it? What is there about that that is? I've heard stories of many who've been involved in volunteer work that it has been a significant change for them emotionally and psychologically. They see more to life than they had seen before. Is that a necessity that you need to know the community that you're working for or volunteering, or you just plop into a school or an agency and just do the work?
I don't always think it's necessary to know the community or the agency that you're working for immediately. That's why you continue to work for them. You grow. a little bit of education before is always important. That's what I really liked about Alternative Spring Break was before we worked with certain issues or went to certain places, we spent time educating ourselves about the environment and what issues were impacting this particular city or country that we were going to. And another key component to these volunteer experiences is reflection. So once you've finished your activity and your service, how did what you did make you feel? Mm-hmm. What went through your head?
So you do a follow-up with each of them?
It depends. If they go with a group, say if they go with Volunteer Illini Projects, mm-hmm. they usually will do some reflection at the end. If they go alone, you know, they might write in their journal or their diary afterwards. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes they probably will do some sort of internal reflection. But I feel like reflection is a really important way to just kind of realize what you've gone through and what you want to do now and what you've learned about the agency and the community mm-hmm. and how you can keep going with that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I've done a little bit of reading in schools where they incorporate volunteer work or service learning.
Uh-huh.
It's a requirement mm-hmm. that you critically think about or reflect on your experience
yep.
in a formal way, and that without it, the experience isn't complete. Are there U of I programs that require service learning or volunteer work?
There might be a few scattered classes that require it mm-hmm. In certain departments like psychology and social work.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great program in the College of Engineering called Learning and Community that is one of the few service learning classes that we have here on campus. Mm-hmm. And it was specifically created by a professor who saw that these engineering students weren't getting out into the community and seeing that they're engineers, they can do amazing things for these agencies. And so Link started when I was on campus, I believe, and it's been going strong for...
It's called Link.
Link, yep. It's been going strong for a while, and they've been at agencies like the Time Center. They've been everywhere, and they're doing the computer work. Mm-hmm. They're just doing everything, but it's a whole semester, and they've got a certain number of hours required, and then a presentation to the class, all kinds of wrap-up reports and reflection, and this is what we did, this is why it's important, this mm-hmm. is how it impacted us and the agency, and we need more of that here. Mm-hmm. We really do. I mean, Illinois is a land-grant institution, and service is important, you know? It can't just be in the mission statement and not have anything done to promote it. I mean, there's a big difference between volunteering and service learning. And at such an academically strong school like this, combining the two into service learning coursework, to me, is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But
you'd like to see more?
I'd like to see more classes mm-hmm. and more requirements. I just think it's so important, especially when you put that academic component in there and get credit for it.
Are there some colleges and universities that do require it? That you know of?
That require it? I'm sure there are, but...
I think I've heard of some community colleges and four-year colleges.
Yeah. The University of Michigan has always been my kind of gold star for what they're doing.
Mm.
They have, it's called the Ginsberg Center for Community Service. It's amazing. It has all of its service organizations in the building. It's got its service learning center in the building, and they have probably 100 service learning classes there. The faculty are invested in service learning. The students take interest in it. The administration takes interest in it. And I just happened to be going to visit there on Tuesday. I'm thrilled to go see what they're doing there because it's been, and they publish a service learning journal, which is the best in the field.
Hmm.
And so, you know.
How did they get to that point? Do you have any, I guess you're going to go find out.
I'm going to go find out. I think it was just committed professors who wanted to get it started. I believe they were urban planning professors. And, you know, we have the East St. Louis Action Research Project here, which is out of the Fine and Applied Arts School, so I know urban planning works with that, and that's a great program that's been going on for years and years here. We need more of that. We really do. Mm-hmm. But again, I simply work with the volunteering, but from my time here as a student, I would have loved to have taken more service learning classes. Mm-hmm. I would have taken every single one that was offered, mm-hmm. minus the engineering ones. But I think more students would as well. I really do.
So are one of the deans of the chancellor going to be seeing you in his or her office in the future, do you think?
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I'd love to go have a chat with them.
So you don't do classes in service learning now?
No.
You see yourself in the future, maybe?
My office does not. I have enough on my plate dealing with all of the volunteer fairs and just getting the word out about what we're doing. And then a lot of
coordinating.
About a third of my time is spent advising Volunteer Illini projects because mm-hmm. that organization is just huge. And then a lot of time out in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm everywhere.
That's the largest group on
yes.
campus. What is that?
Volunteer Illini Projects is the largest service organization on campus. They, this past year, had around 3,500 volunteers who either came once or came several times, many times, to work with them. They have 15 different projects running the gamut from registering people to vote to going into hospitals to working in the neighborhoods, everything, to running the blood drives in the union. Mm-hmm. So they do it all. They've been around since the 60s, mm-hmm. and it was started by two professors here.
And you're now the administrative?
I'm the advisor to them.
Okay.
So I spend a lot of time with the chair and the vice chairs, and they've got a pretty large executive board of 20 students who are in charge of running these projects, mm-hmm. and they are dedicated.
Now, you said 3,000 some odd students in a given year?
Yeah, that's the current number on their email list, and to get on that email list, I believe you had to have done a project at some point in time, mm-hmm. so it's a lot. And again, tracking is something that we are going to try to improve upon because those numbers will only become more impressive mm-hmm. once we get them tightened.
That's what I was going to ask. Presumably with other projects besides that one, the number goes up to what? Total number of students. What are there, 29,000 students in a given year on average?
Yeah, undergrads probably around
3,000 is a relatively small percentage.
Yeah,
it is.
It is. But that's just Volunteer Illini projects there.
Right. So what would the larger number be?
Wow. I mean, if you add all the students who go on the alternative spring break trips, you probably would add another 250 in the Habitat. I mean, there are around 40 or 50 service organizations on the campus that do all kinds of things.
Are you going to be tabulating that and getting statistics and all that, or is that not?
I'll work on Volunteer Illini projects first and see what else we can do. The service organizations are so, you know, committed to their own project. They're mm-hmm. not, they don't often get together. And I see a lot of room for collaboration, but mm-hmm. a lot of cases, the students at the U of I are very, they've got a lot going on. And so we've tried several times to get an organization of the presidents of the service organizations to get together. It's too hard. So I'd like to work on finding a way to make that happen because they're all working for the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all serving the community and doing it well.
My guess is that Chancellor Aiken probably had that in mind when he created your office.
I'm sure he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it'd be interesting to see in the future some sort of a pie chart of how many students actually are involved in volunteer and service learning activities, and then maybe even compare that to places like Michigan. Do you know what their percentage is?
Nope. Mm-hmm. Again, looking forward to finding it out. It's high. They have everything there, and then they have an office dedicated to long-term opportunities. So they mm-hmm. have a program called Michigan Serve. They have AmeriCorps, Peace Corps offices all in that building. So
wow.
It's kind of a one-stop service shop.
Mm-hmm. Just to reiterate, the number, if you'd like to call in, is 333-9455. There's an 800 number, 1-800-222-9455. If you'd like to call in and talk to Ms. Amy Sponsler, who is the Director of Office of Volunteer Programs at the University of Illinois. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you said it changed your life when you got involved in this kind of program. Why don't you just do a little biography there? What happened that made you so passionate about this?
Well, I'm from a tiny little farm town in western Illinois, mm-hmm. and there was absolutely no diversity in my town, and it was a very small town, like I said, and I was just pretty much dying to get out of there, mm-hmm. and everyone thought I was crazy for coming to the University of Illinois because it was mm-hmm. so big. Everyone stayed close to home, and while I respect that, I just felt like there was so much more out there for me. So I came to Illinois, and I was the only one from my high school here, which was very nerve-wracking. So I just kind of went out and got involved in everything that I could. I joined the rugby team. I joined a sorority. I started volunteering just to kind of get experience in everything. It was the alternative spring break trip that plopped me down into a community to which I was very unfamiliar, which was the LGBT community,
which is
lesbian, gay, bisexual, and mm-hmm. transgender community in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. No experience, never. I had never met anyone who was of that community, mm-hmm. and it
so
was.
Here you are from a small farm town from western Illinois, and you're in middle of Minneapolis with the
Yep. Sitting, having coffee with teenagers who had been kicked out of their house because they told their parent or family member that they were gay. And I just couldn't believe it. I just thought, this is so wrong. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. How could you, you know, how could you kick a child out of your home because mm-hmm. of this one thing? And it just opened my eyes. Even being in Minneapolis, you know, I hadn't been in a lot of big cities. I was very naive, but it was exactly what I needed. Mm-hmm. And so I came back from that week, and the people on the trip were amazing. I was the youngest. There were grad students on there. And so just hearing about what they had done in their life, it was inspiring. I came back here and just tried to get involved in every service opportunity that interested me. And then continued to go on ASB trips. The next year I went to Guatemala, which was
the alternative spring break again.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It was the first international trip, and I felt honored to go, and that again was amazing. I started studying Spanish more seriously after I was there, and got really involved in education after I was there. I went on 7 while I was here. Not all spring break trips. They also do fall and winter break trips, but I did every issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, trips like that plop, like we said, plop kids down. And then we just spent so many hours doing reflection and talking about what we can do back in our own local community and how we were going to, you know, change the world and do all this. Mm-hmm. And meeting and working with those like-minded individuals is also something that I loved. There was a very tight group of us on the ASB board, as well as kind of a service community on the campus where we were involved in a lot of the service organizations because we loved it. It mm-hmm. was our passion. And a lot of us now who I still keep in touch with are either teaching or mm-hmm. kind of in student affairs like I am, working with volunteer programs and advising students. So, you know, it's like a bug that you catch. It touches your life and you realize the power of it. And that's why I'd like to see it get integrated into more academic courses, because you add that little requirement in there and students get to practice their skill that they're learning with a nonprofit mm-hmm. agency, you know, things like accounting, where they could go help with tax preparation and work. You know, the sky's the limit with this. That's why That's why I feel like it's so important. You can do anything.
Who administers alternative spring break now?
The University YMCA.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it's a program of the Y.
If students want to get involved in that, they can call you and then...
They can. It's a program of the University YMCA. It's also a registered student organization, but they have two offices in both in the union as well as the YMCA. But all of their board meetings are at the YMCA, mm-hmm. and ASB is how I got pretty involved in the University YMCA as well, mm-hmm. because the staff there are so supportive of the program because it's so successful. Mm-hmm. When I was president, many, many years ago, we had 225 students go out during spring break, 17 different trips. It was just 13 of us who planned it. Mm. And that's a pretty, to me, impressive thing that 13 students got together for 9 months and coordinated all of these trips mm-hmm. that touched a whole lot of lives. And I loved it. You know, I loved being part of coordinating and planning and training these people to go on these amazing trips.
Mm. What is there from your childhood or your background that made you predisposed to do this or to be so taken by all these experiences? Because I can imagine other people would go to Guatemala or whatever and count it as a nice experience and then go on with their careers. What happened to you? I mean, what made you different, if at all?
I don't know. I'm an only child, mm-hmm. and... You know, my favorite thing to do from kindergarten on was to read. I read so many books, and my favorite Saturday afternoon activity was spending 2 or 3 hours in the library with my mom. Mm-hmm. And I've always been so curious about everything, and especially growing up in this small town where everyone looked the same, and everyone dressed the same, and everyone acted the same, and everyone got married at this age. I just found it to be very weird and was curious as to if the rest of the world was like this and realized that it probably wasn't and that I wanted to see the rest of that.
Minneapolis and Guatemala were eye-openers.
Yeah, and my parents, you know, were quite shocked. But I think after my freshman year, they got used to all the adventures that I went on, so... I went backpacking alone for 6 weeks last summer, so they're getting used to my going off by myself and kind of doing mm-hmm. my own thing because I seek and crave those experiences.
Mm-hmm. What about international opportunities, Peace Corps and other? Do you hook students up with those as well?
We could help them find, the Peace Corps has a representative on campus mm-hmm. and they have an office and I'm not sure, I think it's on the architectural part of the university. But they have a representative. There's a group called International Illini that do international spring break trips. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many they do. I know they do 2 or 3 each spring break. Mm-hmm. And every place they go depends year by year. But I know that they've gone to orphanages in Asia for several years, and they're kind of going all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll be interested to see what you come back from Michigan with. It sounds like an exciting vision of what you might become.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very excited. I'd like to talk... Too, I forgot to mention this about an event that's coming up. Fall orientation is changing for the university this fall. And we have a great new event coming up called the Illini Union Community Connection, mm-hmm. which is going to be these freshman students' first opportunity to experience community service in Champaign-Urbana before classes start. So we are thrilled to have this program. This is its first year, and it's going to run 4 different sessions, the 21st, 22nd, 23rd of August. Mm-hmm. And students just go online to this website where they do all their registration, and there's a menu for the Community Connection, and it's very simple. They pick their 5 topic area or 5 issue areas where they can volunteer. Mm-hmm. They pick the issue, they pick the time and the date, and they're signed up. It tells them where they need to show up, and we take it from there. We provide mm-hmm. transportation. We provide people, trained guides to take them to the site. They lead them in the project, and then they do reflection afterwards.
Your office runs this?
Well, it's in collaboration with the Office of Dean of Students and Residential Life, because we're hoping to get, we have the capacity for 1,000 students. So I'd love to go out with every group, but I can't. So we have, they're called iGuides. They help with move-in. They do all kinds of stuff with the resident halls. And they will be taking these students out into the community.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds exciting.
Yeah.
We have a caller. You're on Keeping the Faith. You have a question for Amy?
Yes. I'm wondering if some of the places that people volunteer have training programs that also help volunteers. I know some years ago when I was a Parkland student in women's studies that references were made to a woman's place, and then there was an excellent training program there for working with the abused women and children, and that's my question. I certainly think you're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, training
programs.
Training programs for community members.
Well, we've lost her, why don't you assume that?
I believe, and I might be wrong on this again because I am new, that big agencies that have a lot of volunteers will do training programs. I know Kayla at the Champaign County Nursing Home does a lot, and A Woman's Place continues to do a lot. The Time Center, places where they have sustained volunteers from the outside community, have these training programs. And certainly you can call our office and we can give you further information as to who has those. And if we can't find anything, we can certainly help you out with that as well.
You mentioned Michigan and the slew of service learning courses. I suppose that might qualify. Are you thinking about offering courses like that or training?
If I could, I would. It usually needs to come from an academic faculty member. And it needs to be a collaboration between student affairs and academic affairs. And of course, the faculty who designed the course would have to decide if they want to implement a service learning design or not. I would help any faculty member who wanted to implement that course design. And there are great universities. I mean, Michigan isn't the only wonderful university that's doing all of this. They're all over the country, and you can go access their syllabi on any number of websites. There are all kinds of organizations in higher ed dedicated to service learning because they're realizing how important it is. And students are coming from high school now having done community service. A lot of it is required, and they want to keep doing it in the community and keep volunteering, which is great. So why don't we help them get credit while they're doing it? And, you know, it's
Students in high school?
Students in high school, yeah. But I'm talking about how they, when they continue to come to college, if it was an option to volunteer and add the academic component to it and get credit, it's all the better.
They do get credit for graduation from high school.
A lot of schools have turned to that, requiring 20, 40, 60 hours before they graduate.
You wouldn't be opposed to seeing that at the collegiate level?
Oh, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I don't know how they would do it. I mean, it just seems like an academic nightmare, and I can hear all of the complaints now. But
trying to require anything at the university across the board is a can of worms.
Yep, exactly.
Why don't we just talk a little bit about that? If you could have your druthers, I would think that, and it seems to me that you believe that everyone should have this opportunity, but let's say you're in a administrative setting at a high school and someone said isn't required volunteer service a contradiction, how would you answer?
Well, Yeah, I mean, it is a contradiction in terms, mm-hmm. but it's so important to get these students out there, and making it something that they want to do is my job, and finding those agencies that they would want to work at is my job, and that's what I can do for them. And hopefully that's what high school counselors or whoever sets this up would do. You're not going to put them in a situation where they feel uncomfortable or out of place or doing something that they have no interest in. Of course they're not going to like it, and of course they're going to complain. That's why it's important that I have these relationships with community partners so that I can find the best agency for each student and for each organization, because mm-hmm. I believe that there's one out there that exists, or multiple ones that exist, for every person mm-hmm. to have something that they're interested in.
Is there, I've heard from on different years that efforts have been made to get national service. Not just, national community service, if you want to, but as an alternative, let's say, to military service, or some have even suggested bringing back a requirement. Do you know anything about that, and what do you think?
I haven't heard about that.
Certainly would make your office a little hotter.
Yeah. I think it would be interesting to propose that all teenagers do a year of service, or something like Teach for America, or something like the Peace Corps or the military, but have an option where they would have to do it for a year. Mm-hmm. I think that would be great. Yeah. There are so many places where they're needed, and they're young and they're ambitious, and they'll get out there and they'll get the job done, and they'll learn something while they're doing it, which mm-hmm. is great. And then they can go to college, and then they can do their career and hopefully stay continued in service. But I would be up for that. I think that would be great.
Is money increasing for this kind of work? Funds?
Slightly. Mm-hmm. Not that much. There's...
I don't mean just for your office, but I mean right. across the board.
Slowly but surely. More and more campuses are seeing the importance of community service and service learning. And so they're either adding an office or adding more staff members or mm-hmm. personnel to help out. And a lot of the programs are getting bigger, and they're getting more faculty, and they're doing more long-term research into what is really happening when students volunteer, what kind of impact it's having, and the impact of service learning courses. So,
you don't have any numbers of the growth out there? You say it's more and more are having offices like yours at other places?
I brought a few things, but they're not that recent. The most recent thing I have is from the year 2000, but... my favorite book on this topic is called Civic Responsibility in Higher Education, and it's by Thomas Ehrlich, and he's at Stanford. And it's an amazing book about all aspects of volunteerism, service learning, and then it's from all different perspectives. They've got authors from community colleges, liberal arts colleges, historically black colleges, religious colleges, research universities, from all disciplines, just about what they're doing on their campuses, how it has impacted their university overall, and how it can work anywhere. And mm-hmm. The theme of the book is that there's really no excuse. Mm-hmm. That higher education needs to produce citizens, and they need to be active citizens. And that's the responsibility of higher education.
I want to pick up on that just one last time. If you'd like to make give us a call. The local number is 333-9455. And if you'd like to call in, please do so. We just have a few more minutes here, and I'd like to pick up on your last point. A lot of folks have suggested that we are becoming a consumer society, and citizenship is less and less important.
do you feel that you're bucking a trend here, and how would you define citizenship in a consumer society?
Oh, goodness.
or civic responsibility.
Right. No, I think we are trying to buck the trend. I mean, just look at how many people voted in the last election. It's really quite sad, and the numbers are very dismal in terms of that. And to me, that's the first thing about being a citizen, is voting for your government locally, statewide, nationally. It's what you do. You pay taxes and you vote.
And our voting rates are pretty miserable.
Yep.
50% or less.
Yep. And it's doing what you can to give back. It's being aware of your community, being aware of its needs and the resources in the community, and contributing in whatever way that you can. A lot of people do it monetarily, but that is not the end all.
Write a check and I don't think about it.
Right. And we'd like to get people out there in the community besides just writing a check, which is, of course, always appreciated. But they need to get out there, and especially in our schools, I think that is going to be the hot topic for the next 5-10 years. What's going on
with teachers donating? I've heard is up to 10% of their income to support school supplies. Teachers are already automatically volunteering resources.
I can vouch for that. I spent quite a bit of my paycheck. I'd say 10% of it's about right on supplies for my classroom.
Well, we could certainly we hit upon a topic there that we could go on for about another hour.
Yes, we could.
But let me just make sure I get a couple of announcements in before we wind up, and maybe we can come back to it. Next week, the guest is Hugh Phillips. He is the head of El Centro, which is concerned with the welfare and situation of migrant workers in Champaign, Urbana. Hugh Phillips, head of El Centro, next week. The host will be Becca Guyette. Also, don't forget the University YMCA's Dump and Run program. If you have items you'd like to dump and then run, you can drop them off at the University YMCA. Just very, very quickly, just about 10-15 seconds, what would be your dream for the future? What are your goals?
For the University of Illinois to have an established service center, kind of mimicking Michigan's with its own twist on how it can serve the residents of the state of Illinois, since that is part of our mission, and just to get as many students out there, and hopefully this community connection will start getting the first years involved.
Thank you very much, Amy Sponsler, Director of the Office of Volunteer Programs at the University of Illinois. Appreciate your coming in. This is Don Nolan, Keeping the Faith. Thank you.
You've been listening to Keeping the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Middle English isn't what it used to be. Add a backbeat, some high-flying rhymes, and you've got a hot new version of Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. I'm Jim Fleming. Next time, onto the best of our knowledge, the madcap transformation of one of literature's oldest classics from history to hip-hop, and the hidden lives of the Bronte sisters. It's to the best of our knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Tonight at 7 here on WILL Urbana.
Programming on WILL is funded in part by a grant from TK Service Center, 806 Perkins Road in Urbana, offering automotive repair on cars and trucks by ASE-certified technicians. In business since 1984, they perform computerized engine diagnostics, alignments, brake and suspension work, and other repairs. A shuttle service for customers is also available. The phone number for TK Service is 344-0800 or on the web at tkservicecenter.com.
Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, partly cloudy this evening, then clearing. The low in the upper 30s with northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour this evening, then becoming light and variable. Tomorrow, partly sunny with the high in the upper 60s and light and variable winds. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with the low in the mid-40s and light and variable winds, becoming southeast around 10 miles per hour after midnight. It's 6 p.m. Central Time. This American Life is next.